Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Startled show. Talking about the Knicks, and I have an issue with Mike Clown. And really, it's not just after four games. I didn't like the hire. And then you watch this team, and to me, it looks similar, if not flat out worse than it was a year ago. But obviously, Karl-Anthony Towns looking similar to what we saw last year, which is frustrating everybody, including you.
Very much so, man. And like, this is not anything more than a team that is in the middle of their very small window to win a championship. And it's four games, and I know it's early, and I want to be cognizant of that as I presented this, like I did the first start of the show here. But they're just not going to win a championship with Karl-Anthony Towns being the number two, whether he's 1A, 1B, however you want to frame it, being right next to Jalen Brunson. He's not reliable enough. He's not tough enough. I do think he's got a pretty good IQ, and I know he could shoot, but the things that he does not do well they're not going to go away. I don't think you could coach around that. See, I think there's certain things with really, 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 really good players that you can coach. I'll give you an example. So we know that Jalen Brunson is deficient defensively, right? So what you don't want to do is leave him on an island where, you know, he's got to defend the pick and roll and he's getting screened over and it's one-on-one and he's going to get tripped up and put on skates, or somebody's going to pull up and shoot over him. Not that that doesn't happen, but you want to guard against that proactively and preemptively coach against that. I don't know how you proactively guard against a player who doesn't seem to be wired with the mindset required to be an alpha on a team trying to win a championship.
Yeah, and to me, the whole appeal of bringing in a new head coach would have been to maximize Towns, because he's certainly not their best player, but he might be their most important player. If they can unlock getting him going at a consistent level with what Brunson brings and with the surrounding pieces that they have, like right now, you watch the Knicks. I don't know how you can even say that Towns is their second best player.
He's not.
Right. I would think that it's OG Anunoby. Even Bridges at his peak, to me, especially defensively, when you factor in what those two guys do defensively, getting their hands up, knocking balls down, stealing things, and obviously the way that they can shoot the basketball and attack the rim as well. So I would have Towns probably fourth on that list behind Bridges and Anunoby.
Yeah.
Now, the point is, though, he might be their most important because he can score in an elite level. And he might, in fact, be their best three-point shooter consistently, especially for a big. And in today's NBA, you want a big who could stretch the floor. That's how I would use him. So my whole thought process was, okay, as much as I love Tibbs, I could see wanting to hire somebody else to try to offensively maximize what Towns can do. I'm not seeing that from Mike Clown so far.
See, but I think that even if you get that, it's not going to be enough here.
That's a different story.
Yeah.
But at least we need to see that.
Yeah,
no?
For sure. But I want to go down that road for a second here, because we all know, you know, what he did a year ago. And again, his numbers were really good. So when we use the term unlock, or however we want to describe what we're trying to see more of with Karl-Anthony Towns, let's say he went from 25-12 a year ago. Let's say this is not going to happen. I'm just saying for the conversation. That Mike Brown or whomever was able to unlock him to the tune of 30-15.
Right.
You get 5 more points. You get 3 more rebounds. The other things that he doesn't do well will never be better, because he's not explosive. He's not physically strong. He doesn't have, in terms of, you know, relative to what he should be for his weight height ratio, he doesn't have great dexterity. He doesn't have amazing coordination. He doesn't have a ticker that just goes like Giannis nonstop. So I even think that if you had Pat Riley, you could have a coaching staff of Pat Riley is the head coach, Van Gundy is the assistant, and Tom Thibodeau is the second assistant. And the deficiencies of Cat, they really would never truly be corrected.
Correct.
They're inherently within.
Agreed. That's why I had an issue last year. Like I said, we could talk about this 100 times. I thought it was more about their star tandem with Brunson and Cat than it was about the head coach. So the hope is that the head coach can get maximize Cat at least and see where that can bring you. And look, maybe, and I'm not going to overreact just to four games. We're not doing that. I didn't like the hire to begin with, and I don't love Carl Anthony Towns after watching him for a year. It's certainly not the way that they've been using him. Here's what I can't stand about Towns. I can't stand when he tries to attack the rim. I can't stand it. It's one of the most infuriating things to watch in New York sports, period. He's out of control. He's got no post game. He's an offensive foul machine. He does the same crap every time. What? It was me? I fouled? He's out of control. He's got no post game whatsoever. No. Now, on occasion, he can score. Sure. To me, that's more the aberration. The norm is that he is a mess underneath the bucket. But for me, I will wait to see if when Mitchell Robinson comes back, now it's a big if, how different things look. Because I would assume, BT, that when Mitch comes back, now you have your rim protector, your rebounder, you play him in the middle, spread everything out. I want to see how the offense looks then. But right now, it's been ugly through 4 years.
Yeah, and listen, Mitch's absence is really an issue. And Deuce didn't play last night either. Yeah. And we both love Deuce. He's tremendous here. So things will change, but I think it's important, as you did, to say if Mitchell Robinson could. I just feel like it's very ominous, and I said that a couple of weeks ago. When you're getting maintenance days, or it's presented as maintenance days before the season starts, what the hell are we talking about?
What is going on?
I really don't think that he's physically right. I basically think they're lying to us. That's what I think is happening. I don't think they're being forthright at all.
He's dancing in videos on Instagram and like, whatever, do what you gotta do, but it's four games in. Where is he?
I don't know, but I do think if he ever comes back and it truly is Mitchell Robinson, yeah, you'll see Cat outside a little bit more, which is good for him. I also think then you have situations where guys like Bridges and OGs could take more risks in terms of trying to make plays in the passing lanes, and which would get the offense going in terms of transition. Like, there's subsets of what could get better and probably will get better when Mitchell Robinson comes back here. But even think about some of the baskets that Carl Anthony Towns makes when he's attacking the rim, because I'm with you. I don't know if anything infuriates me more than that, except maybe really low contact hitters for the Yanks and the Mets in big spots. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like they just bad at bats, right? That drives me nuts. But he's just like, he's running and he's off balance and he's flinging it off the backboard and he's got these elbows here and these gangly legs there. Like, he's just not smooth, man. And to me, he still looks like, and this is not going to change because you're the athlete that you are. You can improve nominally. I always said, hey, I jumped rope as much as Rocky. I was still one of the slowest kids on my team. I mean, I jumped rope every day, did nothing. I even had strength shoes, those stupid cinder block shoes that I thought would make me jump. Do you remember the
strength? Yeah, like the Seinfeld, like Jimmy.
I don't remember that.
Yeah,
the Jimmy had him?
Yeah, he had him to better his calf.
I should have just done a Johnny Drama, get a calf implant like he got on Entourage. No, but basically what you do is they get you on the balls of your feet, then it engages the calf, and then theoretically you get quicker and jump higher. Didn't work for me, but I tried. So what I know about physical limitations, that what God gives you and what he doesn't, and what God didn't give Carl Anthony Towns is explosion and bounce and dexterity, and that's not going to change.
The other thing we discussed here was Shohei Ohtani and the World Series last night. Blue Jays getting a win, evening up that series. Ohtani, 6 innings, 4 runs, 0-for-3. Not very impressive to me. I'm not trying to knock him as a player. I get it, but I do think it's overdone, the hype around Ohtani and what he's done as far as being a pitcher. To me, that gets overdone because it's just more about, well, the fact that he's a great offensive player and he can pitch on occasion, that takes precedent for everybody else, not for me. I could find a lot of guys that could give you 6 innings, 4 runs, so sorry, not that impressed. I'm not trying to minimize Ohtani. I like Ohtani. How can you not love his offensive game? Great to watch. I made a point to specifically watch last night because I wanted to see what Ohtani can do. I don't think he's been nearly enough, a good enough pitcher, or has pitched enough to warrant all the accolades as if he's the greatest player that the sport has ever seen.
I'm incredibly impressed. It's insane. Listen, this conversation, it was a pretty good debate. If you guys want to go back and check out the Free Odyssey app, check it out. It was good. try to hit some new fresh stuff here. But it started with the Smoltz comment, right? That's how you brought it up. Like the Smoltz comment, isn't that how it started?
He basically does two jobs. Yeah, that was just one thing that he said that bothered me. But overall, the six innings, four runs was something I wanted to get to.
But how'd you feel with the 10 strikeouts the prior game?
Yeah, I thought it was great. But but that's the thing. So it's one game great. And at that point, it was, oh my God, it's the greatest thing we've ever seen, which you could argue statistically, it certainly was. I don't even know if you could argue against it being there is probably no argument against that being the greatest statistical game. You had three home runs, strike out 10 guys, as dominant the performance. I don't need that to be followed up with six innings, four runs, which I could find Steve Traxel to do that.
The human rain delay, Steve Traxel. You guys could have used him this year. Yeah. Traxel wasn't that bad as much.
Like Steve
but
Traxel,
yeah, he was okay. All right, so I think it's insane to minimize what this man does. Now, yeah, there's other guys who don't give up four runs in six innings. There's nobody else that throws basically 100 with a nasty slider, which is wipeout. And when he's on, is untouchable. And when he's in the box is, you know, it just creates fear and trepidation in the stands, in the dugout, up and down the sport. He's insane. Now, what I think is really special about Ohtani, and I brought up the example of Tiger Woods, and I also used Mike Tyson. Like when those guys who were untouchable, as we know if you actually saw them, like when they were training for their craft, it was a single focus. It was Tiger, you know, think about how you started golf, you know, even when you and I played with Francesa. Get out there, hit a couple wedges, all right, maybe to the 5-iron, maybe hit a hybrid, 3-wood, maybe you start banging some drivers. So that's how Tiger Woods would prepare to go out there and shoot minus 20 and, you know, render the Masters like a basic muni that played, you know, 5,200 yards. But it was a singular focus. Yes, there were different shots, clearly, but he was a golfer. And we all know what that encompasses. The preparation, and this is where I just place more emphasis and am more impressed. The preparation to get ready to step on the hill, four runs over six or 10 strikeouts over whatever, I've never seen it. You know, I brought up Babe Ruth. Others have brought up Babe Ruth. Yeah, it's impossible to really equivocate the two because of the, you know, there was just a different world, no minorities. Baseball was different. Literally, the ball was different. The bats were different. The field dimensions were different. All those things that I said before. But Ohtani, to me, he's not even one of two. To me, he's one of one.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Carrie is in Sayreville talking about her Knicks. What's up, Carrie?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Carrie.
Sal, I like my clowns. I'm still sticking with No Balls Brown. I said it last year when we got him, and I'm saying it now.
Yes,
I'm still
Carrie.
No Balls Brown.
I like that even better. But I do want to be a little bit clean on the radio. That's a little crass, even for me, Carrie.
I apologize. They get me riled up. They get me going. So I apologize. But that second half of basketball yesterday was probably one of the most painful halves of basketball I've seen in a long time. And I don't understand going into the fourth quarter when you need scoring, how you could throw Cat, who's done nothing but sashay around the court like it's his runway here, and Hart, who physically cannot shoot, how you put those two out there when you need scoring. It makes zero sense. He had one field goal attempt, Cat, in the first half. What does he do? Like, he doesn't defend. He just does a lot of dumb fouls. I don't understand going into the fourth quarter how you could throw those guys out there. And I mean, he has to I'd rather see Mo in there, put somebody else in there who's going to have some sort of effectiveness that can actually physically shoot the ball. I love Hart. He plays with a lot of heart, but he cannot shoot.
No.
So what is the point of having him both out there at the same time? You're basically taking away any and all possible of shooting.
Well, let me answer that for you, Kerr. Yeah, you can get away in the modern NBA. And thanks for the call. And you're revved up. Wow, I carry that.
No,
I
mean, that's Balls true. Brown.
And then she says he's sashaying around the runway when he's going to the rim. I mean, she is all out right now on these Knicks.
Boy. I like it.
And she's usually all in. You can get away with one non-shooter, and that would obviously be Josh Hart in the modern NBA. Back in the day, you could have more than that because it was a different game. So she asked, why would you have Cat and Hart on the court at the same time? Well, the hope is that Karl Anthony Towns would start shooting the basketball and playing with a level of engagement that is commensurate with his status, or at least perceived status, and contract. And the thing that's, we haven't really touched on this part, just to keep it fresh, the thing that's starting to worry me about him as well, aside from the non-physical things, is that now there's a level of disengagement and confusion. You listen to him post-game, even when he was asked during the preseason, hey, what's your role? He's like, I don't know, man, I'm trying to figure it out. All right, I kind of laughed at that. I'm like, he's just being coy here. He's got to know what his role is. He doesn't know what his role is.
Yeah, he didn't have that issue with Tibbs here.
He didn't, but he had other issues, like, you know, still being soft. I mean, let's not make it seem like Tom Thibodeau made him play like Anthony Mason or Charles Oakley.
No, but he didn't have that issue. There was no confusion with Tibbs. Like, he may have known what Tibbs wanted, he just couldn't do it or didn't want to do it. Now there's some confusion here. My thing is, when you compare, and forget about compare because we're not doing that, it's ridiculous, but Ewing, like, you knew, and Ewing was maybe a bad example because he's just an elite player, one of the greatest players of all time. You knew there was going to be consistent scoring in a certain way. What's the way Karl-Anthony Towns is going to consistently be the Knicks' second-best scorer? Mm-hmm. We know how Brunson's doing it.
Yeah.
Brunson is consistently the Knicks' best scorer. He does it multiple ways.
Yep.
Getting to the rim, mid-range, he can knock down some threes, all that stuff. What's the way that Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be the consistent second scorer for the Knicks?
Well, honestly, I think part of the appeal is that it could be both. It should be both because he could shoot, and based on the matchups, which, you know, is obviously going to dictate the way you run the offense against some smaller teams, slower teams, whatever it might be. I mean, I would like to think that when you get to 25 points like you did a year ago, then we know that not all from behind the arc. So to me, the appeal of Karl-Anthony Towns was that he was a two-level scorer.
See, I would want just some consistency from him on the perimeter because I don't trust. He cannot be consistent in the paint. He can't. The only thing he's consistent at, turnovers, offensive, like, that's it. So I personally would try to change it. I believe that's what Mike Brown's going to try to do. You just got to maybe have to have Mitchell Robinson come back to do that. All I'm saying is it's not real. You can't have Karl-Anthony Towns scoring 8 points.
Not
in today's NBA. When you're not a good defensive team or a specific defensive player, like, What is he doing here? If he's scoring 8 points, what the hell is the point of having Karl-Anthony Towns?
Think about some of the questions that we've asked in the last couple of years over New York sports here. Like, is Aaron Judge going to eventually hit when it matters? Now, his teammates didn't help him out, but this year he at least answered the bell. Need a championship to be an all-time great, blah, blah, blah. But he did. I'm going to throw another question out there. Do we think that when you lift up the hood and you get into the wiring of Karl-Anthony Towns, that he's wired in a way that's going to push back and resist and fight his way out of the perception and the noise that is now already growing around him? My answer is no.
No, I also think that he's too nice. Much like Mike Clown, I think that they both seem like nice guys and obviously have some kind of skill set. Like, you don't have the success that Karl-Anthony Towns has had without having an elite-level skill set.
No.
You don't have the success that Mike Clown has had other spots. Like, obviously, he knows what he's doing to a certain extent. I just don't think he's the right guy for this job. And I think it's a bad combination. But again, it's just four games. I felt this way before. So far through four games, I haven't liked what I've seen. We hope that we would see a different Towns. If anything, it's looking worse.
He's going into a shell.
And to your point, he's saying things that just don't give you any confidence. That's like, because the results could be bad, but he'd be like, we're good.
I know my role.
And that'll change. Like, it's just a shots off, but that'll change. That's not what's happening.
It's the exact opposite. He's projecting confusion. And confusion. What? Confusion and a degree of disengagement. And that is a bad combo.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hoff does the soundtrack to the show and does very well at that.
He does.
But it is selective.
Unless there's pizza to be had, then he just hits whatever's up.
It's like Carl Anthony Towns, inconsistent. Some nights he's going to drop 40 with the playlist, and then others he's like, I'm going to go grab a couple slices of pizza. There's pizza
here
today.
Yeah, but Hoff's not soft. That's a difference.
Yeah, good point. I mean, soft like physically.
My wife would agree with that.
soft physically. Yeah. You're always trying to take it to in the gutter.
Keep that stuff. Risque podcast. You got a lot of things you want to say.
Keep that stuff on the overnight.
About working with Evan the Geek.
No, but
go and work with somebody who's a nutball. He could be nutty you.
Well, he comes from the Howard Stern claw, the porno pee thing. Here's the issue with Hoff. He goes and gets pizza. I guess today there's pizza for whatever reason.
Okay.
He comes back with a plate full of pizza.
And then
tells us when the break's about to be over, oh, by the way, there's pizza back there.
We got 30 seconds to react. Thanks, buddy.
All right, so I apologize, but people want to talk to me. So I'm sitting there grabbing slices. I would have been back much sooner, but people stop me in my tracks.
Hey, well, how about being like, hey, you know what? Let me go bring maybe BT and Sal. They got to be on the air.
First of all, you declined everything.
You're true. That is true. Okay. I agree. But BT would have eaten it.
I know, but here's the thing. I have a grudge against BT. He only eats half of it.
So what? You didn't buy it. You didn't make it.
No.
What's the difference?
Well,
what's the difference if I take one nibble and throw it out? You're going to pay a dime for it.
Because I know that I'm going to eat this whole thing.
Okay.
We all know that.
Yeah.
Vegas knows that.
I do have to readjust here. I maybe spoke too soon, and Hoff might be right. He is right. You don't eat the whole thing. I was going to decline anyway, and you don't eat the whole thing.
So what?
Well, because he's thinking, I'm not going to waste a slice. If BT wants to come back and waste a slice on his own,
okay.
What do? You eat the cheese, or you have
one
bite?
We've been through this before. They call me the nibbler. I take a little bite. Yeah. I like the cheese. I don't want all the bread. Whatever.
Right.
That's why I do it. So it's more from a caloric thing.
Yeah, but you will have two slices of pizza.
Sometimes I'll have three.
Right. Where you nibble and throw the rest away. You could just have one and have somebody let somebody else have two other slices.
No, because I'm going to tell you why. No, that's not true. Because of the three slices that I nibble on, I'm really not having a lot of bread. I'm having primarily cheese. Now, maybe not good for the arteries or the cholesterol, but not as much empty calories that if I ate the whole crust and all the bread.
You're saying you have three slices worth of cheese and then the bread goes to waste.
Close to it. But what I'm really saying is now we're getting away from the point. If you bought the pizza, or, you know, all right, how about this? Say, you know, you're coaching and I'm your assistant coach or whatever. We're coached together, right? And you get the boys, you get Aunt and his buddy's pizza. And there's only X amount of slices. A, B, don't eat because you're not going to eat much and the boys are healthy. The boys are hungry.
Yeah.
You're going to have two nibbles and we got to let the boys eat.
Save some for the kids, the nibbler.
Exactly. Yeah. That's one thing.
Or what I would do is this too, in that scenario, I'd say, hey, listen, I'll give you my cheese. I'll have a slice.
How much was it back? Like how many boxes?
There weren't a lot left.
Worse that you didn't tell us.
See? You're in trouble now because I know because you're not going to be able to eat the pizza. I know you want to go during the, if we had 4 minutes to go, you would have gone and got a slice. You knew that we were coming back in like a minute.
Yeah.
You had to sit here.
It's going
to
be that broccoli hippie stuff nonsense with pineapples and the crap that I
want.
Well,
that's one of the slices I took. It was the broccoli hippie slice.
One thing that I did do that was effective during that break, I went to the bathroom and it hit
so
me.
So did I.
I have another nickname for Mike Brown.
Oh, please. Would you show the man an ounce of respect? Dude?
I will. This one's better. I think this one probably hits.
Wait, so you're going with Mike Clown. Kerry's going with No Balls Brown. Yes. I can't wait to hear this one.
This one's kind of in the middle.
Just don't forget, how about two-time Coach of the Year Brown? Can you throw that in at some point?
Kerry was an inspiration to me because mine's kind of like a spinoff of hers.
Yeah.
You ready? I think you're going to like this one.
Am I going to laugh?
Bad News Brown.
Going like the wrestler?
Bad News Brown!
He was a badass. He was actually legitimately one of the toughest guys in the WWF.
It's just bad.
Maybe it's a bad job by you doesn't have to fit.
No, it's bad news.
Bad News Brown was a legitimate backstage, badass.
Understood.
Who would fight everybody but Haku and beat everybody up.
This is a
if you're calling him a wimp or a clown or a wuss, whatever she's calling him, it doesn't match up.
This is a different
intonation?
Yes, of bad news.
Meaning bad news and no
different
championship.
Different definition. Yeah. No, it's bad news that he's the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Bad News Brown. different than Bad News Brown, the wrestler.
Uh-huh.
Bad News Brown, like it's bad news that he took over for Tibbs. That's what I'm saying. I told I'll you before the you. Season, I think it's going to go more the way of Don Nelson. And through four games, I feel confident more than ever that that's going
to
be the case.
You did say that. You did say that. And listen, I wasn't knocking down the door to hire Mike Brown, and he was not their first, second, or third choice. Just to restate what, you know, what I felt when they did, I was accepting of it because I really thought it was time to move on from Tom Thibodeau. I know how he deploys his offense. Now, he's still got to get the system going here. Yeah. Obviously, it's been sloppy last couple of games, Miami and last night. But I do think that big picture, offensively, I was open to it possibly being better. And I still believe that. However, he's going to have a rough season. If they don't win well over 50 games, he is going to get hammered.
Think about what we could do digitally with the Mike Clown thing. I guess even the Bad News Brown. Dove says that he likes Mike Clown better.
Yeah.
I think Bad News Brown is like not as blatantly disrespectful.
No, it's not.
Yeah, but it's still, you know, it's still derogatory. Bad News Brown, like. Yeah. But, I mean, either way, I could go with both. Matter of fact, I probably will go both, especially if he keeps losing here. Either way, look, the Knicks got to get things turned around. They'll have a nice homestand, 7 games in a row coming up in November, starting Sunday when they take on the Bulls. So I guess that's a home and home. They get the Bulls this Friday in Chicago, then back home Sunday against the Bulls. Yeah, that is. And then they'll be here for 7 straight. I expect the Knicks to win some games here.
They better.
Yeah, I just
want to
see
them. They got the second highest payroll.
Yeah, well, when I say some games, I mean still enough, like a lot of games.
Like 54, 55?
I don't know about that high. Low 50s. They should be a top minimum. The expectation should be top 4 seed. I know people were saying top 2 seed. I don't think, and I never thought, that they were going to be good in the postseason under Brown. Never. So I don't believe they're going to have success in the postseason. But I just want to see them look different at some point sooner than later. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, listen, to me, the expectation is different than what it's kind of, I'm playing semantics here, but follow me. So like the expectations of what you think the Knicks would be, and we're coming into the season, and we know what that is. Slightly lower than me. Although I didn't have them getting to the championship, nor did I have them as a lock getting to the NBA Finals. I had them as the one or the two seed and battling the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals. Either way. But I don't think it is wrong at all to look at a team, whether you think Mike's great or not, or Cat or this, or Brunson, true superstar, bench, whatever you think about the Knicks. With their payroll and the moves that they have made and all of the draft capital they have moved out to bring certain pieces in, the expectation, whether it's realistic, is a different part of the conference. That's why I'm playing semantics. Yep. The expectation must be conference finals minimal. Must be.
Conference finals?
Must be.
No, I think minimal NBA finals.
That's I thought you were going to push it the other direction.
No.
I mean, I could get more behind that than the other way, but I don't think they're better than anybody. They're not beating the Thunder. Thunder would wax them.
Forget. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. NBA finals would be the expectation.
Getting there.
Forget about what you think or what I think. I think the expectation is right in that it's got to be, they got to get to the finals. The NBA finals, not the conference finals. They've already been there, done that.
I hear you. I just think the Cavs are good.
Yeah, okay.
Well, meaning like really good. Where now, Tom Thibodeau could have lost a 5 or 6 or 7 game series to the Cavaliers this year.
Maybe,
hell, but Steve Kerr could. I mean, Popovich when he was here. Like the Cavaliers are good.
Right, but regardless of who the head coach is, the expectation was going to be the same. They've got to get past where they've been. They were already in the Eastern Conference Finals. There's no excuse. Yeah. The East is wide open. Yeah. Oh, but the Cavs are good.
Really good,
okay.
Though. Not just good. They're really good.
I understand that.
They're not healthy right now.
I understand that. It's why I was never picking the Knicks to begin with. The expectation, though, was still that the Knicks, Reggie was saying it last night.
Mm-hmm.
Not that his word is the be-all, end-all, but I'm just saying, overall, the expectation is get to the finals. Nobody realistically expects them to beat the Thunder, or really any other team from the West, for that matter, that would end up in the NBA Finals.
Okay.
But I'm not making excuses for them in the East. I don't want to hear it. And if Tibbs were here, I'd be saying the same thing.
Would you? So you liked Reggie last night. Let's talk a minute or so about the new broadcast here. You know, last night I forgot again that it was on NBC. I go to MSG first, then I go to I think I went to TNT like an idiot. Then I went to, is it on Peacock? Where is this freaking game? And, of course, I find it basically by accident right next to the World Series. So, do you like the presentation? We all love the Open. That's a given. Yeah. Do you like the Michael Jordan sit-down with Tirico? Do you find that interesting?
I didn't watch it live because I'm flipping back between the World Series and that. So, when it's at halftime, I'm going to the World Series. But I see the clips the next morning, and I love them.
Me, too.
Can't get enough of Jordan.
Me, too. Last night was about load management. Really, really good.
As a matter of fact, I wish Mike Tirico would shut the hell up.
He's annoying.
Dude, and I like him. I think he's an excellent broadcaster.
Yep.
When you're doing an interview ask the question and shut up. I want to hear Jordan talk. And Tirico keeps interrupting. He did it in the first clip, and it got Jordan off the track of something where he was going.
I have the same observation. All right, so, and he's a pro, Tirico, but he, I also thought that they were lost last night. Not Reggie, but when they were talking about, you know, the, I give Reggie credit, about Jalen Brunson's number not being retired. I know you were bouncing back and forth more to the
that
World
with
Series.
King,
okay. So they had a graphic on last night. I know the NBA is totally different. I took a screenshot on my phone. That's why I'm looking at my phone if you guys are watching on YouTube. Not that I'm bored. I'm looking at something here. So Brunson, 213 games as a Knick, 7 more than King. All right, basically the same. Brunson, 26.5 points a game, 26.5 points a game for Bernard King. Like, this is uncanny. 30-plus point games, 77 for Brunson, 72 for BK. 40-point games, 23 for King, 18 for Brunson. And career high in points, Bernard's Christmas Day, 84 against the Nets, and Brunson, 61, as we know. Now, it's a very different NBA. I know that. Bernard did not shoot threes. I don't ever remember him making a three. I'm sure he had a couple, maybe at the end of a quarter, whatever, a buzzer beater. But and Bernard King was one of the best offensive forces in the history of basketball. I'm not putting Brunson on that plane. But the fact that people still think, and it came up a little bit in the postgame, like that Melo should be retired and Bernard should not be. Like, it's, you know, it's just, it's crazy how some people process history and misremember what actually happened.
I don't care if Bernard is or isn't.
I do.
I admit, I know you love him. I admit I don't know enough about
him. If you saw him, you, because the way and I feel about Carmelo, if you saw him the way I did, you'd feel the same way.
As me, about King. Which I understand. My only issue would be, did he do it long enough with the Knicks?
Yeah.
That would be my question. And by the way, they were talking about, I thought the NBA doesn't have, when guys go into the Hall of Fame.
They don't. They messed that up. Reggie was wrong. When he said, who's he going in as?
Yeah, who'd he go in as?
Going in as himself. Yeah, who he's going in as.
Yeah, come on, guys.
It's not like Gary Carter with the Expos let me put on this hat and get $1 million for the Yankees.
You would think Reggie would know that.
I know.
Like, I knew that, and then I started the question. I was like, oh, maybe I got that wrong. Maybe they do go in with teams. So I can't speak to the Bernard King thing, but I would know just based on talking to you or knowing the history of it. I could understand making an argument for having his number up there. However, there is no argument to be made in favor of Carmelo Anthony, specifically in favor of Carmelo Anthony before Bernard King.
I don't get it. It's an illogical timeline and conversation. You ask anybody, whether it's Francesa or a dog, even though he's not a Knick fan. Like, you know, obviously I'm a lot younger than those guys, but I saw Bernard. You ask anybody that lived and watched Bernard King as the Knick, and there is one answer. He should be up there.
But did he do it long enough with the Knicks?
I know it was only 5 years. I get it, but my answer is yes. My answer is yes. I mean, I can understand people saying, well. Now, when you get into longevity, to me, that's more of a museum. That's more of a national, like, the all-encompassing. When you talk about numbers that are hanging from the arena in which, player X played, it's not about, you know, and I do understand the pushback. I'm not saying
I'm not doubting his greatness.
I know you're
not. I'm doubting his greatness as a Knick.
Fair enough. Well, that was his best run. He was good with the Bullets, and he was, you know, played with the Warriors and the Nets and bounced around, had some drug issues, whatever. That's why he was traded, drinking. But like, you cannot walk into the Garden, and especially if you saw, like, Willis Reed and those other numbers up there, of course, and not say to yourself or say out loud, Bernard King shouldn't be up there. Because to me, that's why, like, when the Mets retired, who did they retire? Who's the lefty pitcher that they started? Kuzman.
Yeah.
Like, to me, now, Jerry Kuzman's not one of the best left-handed pitchers of all time. It's not Carlton or Randy Johnson. But in terms of meaningful moments to the Met fan who walked into, granted, a different stadium, that should be up there. So I've always been of the mindset it should reflect the fans. And even though it was only 5 years, King should be up there.
But if that's the case, then Melo should be as well. Because he does, forget you or I.
Yeah, just not me, the fan, but others.
Me either.
True.
I was going to say despise him. I don't despise Melo personally. I think he's a good guy.
Yeah, I do too.
I despise the way he played the game. And to me, it was flat out disrespectful to deem him a great Knick when I grew up watching the Knicks with max effort every night. Carmelo Anthony should have been the greatest Knick of all time. That's the talent level that he had. His work ethic was a fraction of those that played in the 90s before him. So Melo, to me, rested on his skill set. He thinks he's a great scorer, and that makes him a great Knick. And to me, like, I'd put Derek Harper in the rafters before I would Carmelo Anthony, and understanding that Harper was nowhere near the talent that Carmelo was, but certainly Starks, certainly Oakley. Okay. I know it's not going to happen.
No,
but
it's not.
Those guys to me were greater Knicks. Kurt Thomas, like those guys, and probably some people listening, like, who the hell are these guys, old head? Like, get off the radio. But if you watch them give everything they've had, you would understand. Melo was an elite, talented, elite level Knick, no question about it. But he also represents a huge portion of the Knick fan base that
he does.
You
the younger ones, for sure.
Yeah.
And we respect that because you gravitate to what you saw. And we're not here to get you to change your mind. We're just giving you our perspective. And you stop short. You know, you said you're gonna. You know, you said you don't want to use the word despise. Well, I will, but I'll insert it in this direction. You know what I despise about Carmelo Anthony's run here? The losing that I was subjected to. That's what I will despise.
How about now, the selfishness?
Well, I mean, yeah, but then I could get into other layers for sure. Yeah. Not always being in great shape, playing in the All-Star game, and then bagging on the rest of the season, being a chucker.
The stuff with Lynn,
Jeremy Lin. Amari, I saw Amari on a podcast yesterday. He basically said that he killed the offense. Like, Amari, you know.
Said that Melo did?
I thought they were okay, and then maybe went a little sideways. The point being, it's never personal, but I think the deficiencies for Carmelo, while they're different than the deficiencies for Cat, I think, sadly, it will result in the same thing, which is a dusty championship banner that does not get updated. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I just want to get something off my chest here. Some people are really just, and I don't use this word very often at all. What a douche move by this guy. Stephen Ross, right, who's the Dolphins owner. You see his video of him yesterday?
No, I have not seen it.
So he's did you see this of Stephen Ross getting off his, I'm going to guess, probably $20 million plane? No, actually, probably more than that. So he gets off his private jet, and he's pissed. And there's video of this, right? Aggregators, I'm not going to give the guy's name out because we know who I'm talking about, but it's very easy to find. And this guy gets off his jet where he's probably waited on hand and foot, which I get. That's part of the deal. You own it. You should. But He's actually yelling at people, and he's angry because they did not pull the private car up close enough on the tarmac to the stairs of the plane, which means that this poor old soul, and he's not young, but it's not like he's 95 years old, decrepit, and can't walk. He's just lazy, and he's really a douche. He's trying to, like, he's berating people, And everybody's trying to like decipher what is he mad at? And then they were able to see people came into frame. He's yelling for his jacket. He's yelling at the chauffeur. There are some people in this world that I just cannot stand. What a jerk.
I'm sure that happens quite a bit, though.
I know it does.
Especially with the level of money that's what I'm saying. Like, come on. You don't think that a lot of these people are like that?
I do. Yeah. I do. But when I have video evidence, well, now I can crucify you a little bit and say what I believe is true.
Well, that's why.
Rather than guessing.
That's why you've caught people. The people, I'm sure that's not the first time he's acted like that.
You think? No.
So then the person that is filming it is like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get you, sucker.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you're going to talk
to
me like that? You're going to disrespect me like that?
Yeah, keep this in my back pocket until, you know, maybe I need to show this at a later date. Yeah. I'll tell you, there are another thing that's bothering me here. Does this happen to you? So one of the things, and I remember this very vividly. I was in Kings Plaza on Flatbush Avenue, probably 1980, whatever. Maybe 1979. My mom and my sister are there. And my dad and I go to pick them up. And I'm probably hopped up on candy, whatever it was. And I'm like, I run out of the elevator and I had like long curly hair. And he didn't mean to grab my hair. He meant to grab my jacket, which he missed. And he grabbed my hair. Anyway, my dad pulls me back in the elevator, right? And there was a lot of people in the elevator, some elderly people, women, you know. And I was like taken back. And you know, I was scared of my dad, certainly, like, so I wasn't going to talk back to him. And he's like, women and children first. And I never forgot that. Like, I never forgot to this point. When we come into our building, even men, I'm like, yeah, I'll hold the door for you, go in front of you, let's go. The amount of people, Sal, that now walk down the street, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to level somebody in the jaw one day. The day's coming. I'm just telling you right now. Yeah. Because the amount of people who walk down the street and do not move an inch is out of hand. And like there's a point where that's going to stop on my end, and you're going to catch a shoulder right in the face.
I'm not sure.
Take it anymore.
Might not be the best business move for you.
No, that's fine, because if there's a camera that catches it and they'll catch everything,
then they
will see that all the other times, hopefully, I left the building and that I do try to move out of the way. Mm. It's just crazy how the amount of concessions that some people make for others, whether it's holding a door, letting you in the elevator first, moving like a tight sidewalk. Yeah, if it's a woman, older, oh, sure. I'm going to inch out of the way. I'm going to show you respect. Even if it's a grown man. All right, you know what? Just keep the day moving, not looking for friction. But the amount of people who do this, I feel like it's intensifying. And I'm just telling you, one day the shoulder's going flying.
You should try riding the path or the subway.
Thank God I don't do that.
You would have already been probably put in jail. Like it happens. It happens every single day.
What do you do?
The doors open and people don't get out of the way to let you off. Then people come on and they stop right in front of the door. Like, you just don't know how to. It's like common decency of trying to ride the train. But yes, you got to calm down a little.
No,
bit.
No, I am calm.
Oh, then, well, I mean,
I've been letting this go somebody for a couple of years now.
I think unfortunately you're at a spot where you have to kind of let this go.
Well, so I've got to be the person the rest of my life that moves for everybody else, and nobody else has the common decency to move for me.
You don't have to, but if you want to keep a job in the public, then yes, you do have to. There are certain sacrifices that you got to make. I mean, as simple as that. BT and Sal, the Fan, 888-808-1019. Anthony's in Old Bridge. What's up, Ant?
Hey, Ant.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
BT, it's...
Yes.
I finally figured Sal out. I finally figured it out. He definitely does all this just for the show, because there's no way in the world he actually believes the things that come out of his mouth.
And I'm right here. You can talk to
challenge
me.
Challenge him. He's right there. Go for it.
My friends call and text me all the time and tell you the second you debate him and you win, he hangs up on you. I says, well, that is what it is. Well, here's the bottom line. For 12 days, I've been getting texts and calls since game 4 when Ohtani dominated Milwaukee. Okay? Yep. 12 days. My answer was the same thing all 12 days. I can't call the show yet. I can't call the show yet. They're going to tell me they're a New York sports show. They're a New York sports show when I'm talking about Ohtani. Blah, 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 blah. So I've been doing my homework for the past 12 days because I knew this day was coming, and my phone blew up a little while ago when you talked about Smoltzy and you talked about Ohtani. So I've done my homework. Here are a few things that are going to make this very simple and prove that Sal is, there's really something wrong with him, okay?
Well, number before you go further, that's the second shot that you took. I'm all for having
a
debate.
I'm not taking a shot.
Listen to me for a second. Okay. Before you go any further, just make sure you make a respectful debate. That's all that I ask.
100%, otherwise, I will hang up. I apologize.
I want to get
you on my team, and I'm going to give you some stats to make you
go
come
ahead.
Over
I'm
and
all ears.
Finally
go ahead.
Realize.
Go ahead.
Okay. Number one, Babe Ruth only pitched and hit in one season in his career, and it wasn't even that special. He pitched first, then he became a hitter. Never did them both at the same time. Okay, as BT keeps saying, there were no minorities, no lefty specialists, nobody coming in. He would get lit up by guys like Hader and Aroldis Chapman. He wouldn't even touch the ball. That's a whole other thing, okay? He pitched this year. He has the highest K per nine innings in the games he's pitched, okay? You talk about he only pitched 148 innings that year in 2022. Blake Snell won the Cy Young with 160 innings pitched 2 years ago, okay? That's another thing. And if you had 28 starts, which is a good season, of six innings, when no one goes five or six innings, that would be like 160 innings pitched. So the 140 isn't really that far off base.
Well, where'd you get 140 from?
He pitched 140 that year, 2022, when you spoke about it.
He pitched 166. Outside,
okay, sweet.
Yeah, outside of that year, he's never eclipsed more than 132.
Well, he had Tommy John surgery, but this year now, let's go to the playoffs against the best teams in baseball. Do you agree that the Phillies, Milwaukee, and Toronto are three of the best teams in baseball?
Sure.
Okay, if you had a starting pitcher going against them, and in three starts went 18 innings, 11 hits, 25 Ks, and a 3.5 ERA, how happy would you be?
I think I'm not happy with six innings, four runs. There's a lot of words.
I can ask you that. No, you're picking and choosing.
No, you're
in the playoffs.
And you're picking
three playoff starts.
And I'm telling you, I don't like what I saw last
night. I asked you a question. Six innings, four runs last night.
If the Mets got Tarek Skubal, if the Mets traded for Tarek Skubal, who's arguably the best pitcher in the game, certainly top three, and by the way, Ohtani's not in that conversation. Okay, that's
not
a fact.
At all.
So if the Mets got Tarek Skubal and they got to the World Series next year, and Tarek Skubal gave the Mets in the World Series six innings and four runs, I would be ripping him to shreds.
Okay, but he's not on Tarek Skubal's level of pitching. He's in the next tier. He's either number two on all 30 teams in Major League Baseball, and he's the MVP. He's the second best hitter in all of baseball. He does both. If Aaron Judge pitched six innings last night in the World Series, what would his numbers be?
And how many? Well, I mean, maybe similar. I don't know. Six innings, four runs.
He's pitching against the best teams in baseball.
Players get outs. And here's the thing: you say he pitches, right, Ohtani?
Yes.
How many years has he been in the big leagues?
Seven or eight.
Okay. And how many times has he pitched more than 100 innings?
I think three times.
Correct. And that, to me, is not enough.
Tommy John surgery.
I don't want to hear it.
Here's the equivalent. This is going to be very simple. Answer these two questions, and I'll be very happy that you kept me on the phone this long. Is he all 30 Major League Baseball rosters? Is he number one or number two hitter on that team?
Oh, no, he's probably number one on the majority of them.
Okay, thank you. And all 30 Major League Baseball teams.
Majority, everybody.
Is he either the ace or the number two starter on every team going into next year?
That's where we disagree, and thank you for the call and respectful debate.
Good stuff. Yeah, it was good.
That's where we disagree. I mean, it's very simple.
That's good.
I think that I don't believe he's as good a pitcher as everybody else is saying that he is. I'm not saying he hasn't had great starts. I think he's had one very good year. And even in that very good year, it's 166 innings. Like, I can have my expectations where I want somebody to throw 200 innings. I'd also like to see it a little more consistently than just once. He's pitched exactly one season over 150 innings. He's had one season with an ERA under three. I'm not counting this year where he threw 47 innings. So you could go over his Ks per nine. I can't. It's 47 innings. Like, that's not enough. 8 years in the big leagues, BT, he's had three seasons that have eclipsed 100 innings, two of which have been 130. Like, that's just, to me, it's, He can pitch. He's been good at times. It's just not consistent enough for me to go goo-goo gaga.
Yeah. Okay, so that was a good call. I enjoyed listening. That was good stuff, guys. I think that, you know, the question that he asked you before you hung up, like if he was on the other teams, would he be the number one hitter? Yeah, outside of Judge and maybe one other. Yes. Would he be the number one pitcher? Obviously, it's a shorter list here, but I would answer it. I would ask it this way, I think, to maybe, because you can't stand his pitching argument on durability because it's a flimsy argument, to your point. So I would say,
can you base it on dominance is the other part.
True. I mean, maybe an extrapolation of dominance, but yeah, I'm kind
those
of with you.
Those are the two big arguments in my favor.
Do you pitch a lot and are you dominant? I mean, that's what we measure everything by.
Yeah, all right.
Now, but there is evidence when he is healthy that he is dominant, right. So it gets a little convoluted. The point being, if he was on, if you could take Ohtani and put him on every single team in Major League Baseball, how many of those teams, symbolically based on stuff, not sheer accomplishment or accruing of innings, because that's obviously an issue, would he be the opening day starter for, which is the symbolic case? And I would, without actually going through every single roster, I know he would have pitched opening day for the Mets last year, probably not for the Yankees because of Fried and Cole before that. I would have to guess you take away Schoolboy, you take away 5, 6, 7. I mean, he's would be the opening day pitcher on 20-something teams.
I will also say, yeah, that I mean, that may be the case. I still don't think he's a number one. Now, you'd have to be healthy to do that. I would also say that I do think that there is a slight inflation or overrating taking place based on his last three seasons. Now, it's three seasons, so it is what it is. But it's not like he's been this player for eight seasons. He's been this player for three seasons. Where,
but he's also not finished with his career.
Fair enough.
Like, if he's 47 years old, and we're talking about 3 years, then it makes more sense. He might do 4 or 5 more years where he's, and, I mean, I'm not saying he's, you know, he's Roger Clemens, but he's going to be good if he's healthy.
Okay, but that's fine.
But you got to get there.
No, but, yeah, well, I mean, I'd like to see him do it. Right now, they're already saying he's better than Babe Ruth. Like, I was actually surprised to look this up. I'm not a big numbers guy. I know you are more than me. What do you think his career batting average is?
275?
282.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Is that Babe Ruth?
No, that's why he can't shine Judge's shoes. That's why when it comes down to Judge Ohtani, it's Judge.
I mean, honestly, like, it's not even Soto number. Like, 282 is, it's whatever. His career OPS. Now, it's very good.
Let me guess. A career OPS, it's in the nines. I'm going to say 920?
957.
Actually, that's unbelievable. 960
is
insane,
yes,
dude.
But think about it. His first year, 925,
yep.
848, 657, 965, 875. Last 3 years, it's been over 1,000.
There's a little up and down there. It's not like Judge across the board, 1,100, 1,100, 1,100, 1,100. I know, some up and down. The 600, was he hurt that year?
Probably.
No way, that was a full season.
657, no, he only played 44 games.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like,
I got you.
Let's not, like, the last 3 years have been as dominant as possible. And even the 2 years before that, very good numbers. Just not, like, 965 OPS with 46 and 100. It's a big year. 875 OPS with 34 and 95.
That's good. Okay, it's good. It's real good.
Whatever. But
it's not all time.
But the last 3 years have been all-time offensive seasons. The guy's been in the big leagues for 8 years. Then throwing the pitching stuff. Like, I think there's an over
inflation
because he can pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, I kind of met you halfway on that road earlier in the show. Listen, there was a point, you know, I remember certainly more so with the Angels playing against the Yankees and before he went to the Dodgers, where I'm like, this guy's a little overrated, man. What is everybody talking about? And it was a bit of the, hey, he can do this and that, so we elevate him maybe beyond where he should be. But, you know, going to L.A., 50-50 a year ago, 3 home runs in a game, 9 times on base, I mean, 10 whiffs the previous start. The last 2 years have changed my perspective on Ohtani.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.